भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 12, entitled Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. Today we are doing text 18.
Yata nalaki nila bandhu vishma Bale nadaun yadi machyamana Anu prajato havisha samedate Tataiva medyatiriham hivani Yata nalake niladandu vishna Bale nadarun yadi machyamana Anu prajato havisha samedate Tataiva medyatiriyam vivani Yata nalaki niladandu vishna Bale nadavan yadi machyamana Anu prajato havisha samedate Tataiva medyatiriyam vivani
Please chant.
Yata nalaki nilabandhu vishma
Yata nalaki nilabandhu vishma Bale nadayun yadi machyamana Anu prajato havisha samedate Tataiva medyatiriyam vimani Yata nalaki nilabandhu vishma Bale nadarun yadi atmana Anu prajato havisha samedate Tataiva medyatiriyam vimani
Ladies.
Yata nalaki nilabandhu vishma Bale nadayun yadi machyamana Anu prajato havisha samedate Tataiva medyatiriyam vimani
Did you guys want to try it together? Go for it.
Yata nalaki nilabandhu vishma Bale nadayun yadi machyamana Anu prajato havisha samedate Tataiva medyatiriyam vimani
Thank you very much. Yata, just as. Anulaha. Fire. K. In the space between wood. Anila. Air. Banduhu. Whose help? Ushma. Heat. Balena. Strongly. Dharani. Within the wood. Adimachamanaha. Being kindled by friction. Anuhu, very tiny. Rajata is born. Havisha with ghee, clarified butter. Samedate, it increases. Tata, similarly. Eva, indeed. Me, mine. Vyakti, manifestation. Iyan, this. He, certainly. Vani, the Vedic sounds. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. When sticks of kindling wood are vigorously rubbed together, heat is produced by contact with air, and a spark of fire appears. Once the fire is kindled, ghee is added and the fire blazes. Similarly, I become manifest in the sound vibration of the Vedas. Purport. Lord Krishna here explains the most confidential meaning of Vedic knowledge. The Vedas first regulate ordinary material work and channel the fruits into ritualistic sacrifices, which ostensibly reward the performer with fruitive benefits. The real purpose of these sacrifices, however, is to accustom a materialistic worker to offering the fruits of his work to a superior Vedic authority. An expert fruitive worker gradually exhausts the possibilities of material enjoyment and naturally gravitates towards the superior stage of philosophical speculation on his existential situation. By increased knowledge, one becomes aware of the unlimited glories of the Supreme and gradually takes to the process of living devotional service to the transcendental absolute truth. Lord Krishna is the goal of Vedic knowledge, as the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa sarve aham eva vedya. The Lord gradually becomes manifest in the progression of Vedic rituals, just as fire is gradually manifest by the rubbing of firewood. The words Havisa Samedate, the fire increases by addition of ghee, indicates that by the progressive advancement of Vedic sacrifice, the fire of spiritual knowledge gradually blazes, illuminating everything and destroying the chain of fruitive work. Lord Krishna considered Uddhava to be the most qualified person to hear this elaborate transcendental knowledge. Therefore, the Lord mercifully instructs Uddhava so that he may enlighten the sages at Bhadrakashram, thus fulfilling the purpose of the sages' lives. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastite
Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanustate Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalesha Mati Shula Vibhav Praviti Namine Shri Shri Vindata Vivira Padapad Pankajaya Dhyane Prabhupada Nuvadaya Namah Shri Vibhavya Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalesha Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nivishesha Sanyavadi Paschata Deshatani Hare Krishna. So, in today's verse, in purport, basically, it's talking about extracting the essence of the Vedic literatures. And in this example, Lord Krishna is giving Uddhava that by rubbing the wood together, you can extract the essence of that, or extract the main thing, which is far evolving. So this is the purpose of the Vedic literatures, to get the understanding and extract the essence of it. So sometimes, to give examples to make us understand of where to start eliminating those that are not important, sometimes one strategy being used is to give the example of something negative, to see the flip side of it, and then it creates the basis for you to understand the positive side. One time Srila Prabhupada did that with his son, his little son, when he wanted to touch the fan that was spinning, and he would not listen, so his father unplugged the fan and said, "Now stick your finger in there." When he stuck his finger, he got hurt, and then he was ready to listen to his father what not to do and what to do. So in a similar way, I want to give one example, and this is going to be a material example. It's going to be on the flip side of spiritual life. It's pretty gross. Hopefully it can at least gross me out enough to understand. And at the end of which, if some devotees can't, take prasadam, then blame it on me. It's okay. So there was once, to give this material example, to extract the essence of material life and see in a gross picture what it is. As we all know, the greatest attraction is the attraction of our bodies, attraction between the opposites, and to get that enjoyment. So once there was a very, very beautiful girl, very beautiful lady, and she was very, very Krishna conscious. She was as beautiful as she was Krishna conscious, very extremely beautiful body, very everything from a material point of view, perfect. But she was not a fat, she was a very great devotee. So she was at her door, in her home, performing her bhajan. And one man approached her, and being attracted to her, he wants to enjoy. So he revealed his mind. She asked, "What is it you want?" He said, "I want to enjoy your beauty." So she said, "Very well, come back in 7 days and I'll give you the enjoyment that you're looking for." So he went away and he came back in 7 days. So when he came to the door and he saw this person doing their japa, but it was a very, very scrawny looking, skinny lady, very, you know, the worst you can describe of how, you know, gross a person can be. Very, very skinny, emaciated, scrawny looking, and what we are in the same clothing. So he came and he's looking around, and she said, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for that beautiful girl that, you know, was here last week. So she said, I am that beautiful girl. I am the same girl that told you to come back in 7 days. So he said, this can't be that, you know, you're nothing like what she was looking like. She said, yes, I'm the same person that what I've done, I have separated my beauty from me so that, and you can enjoy that. She said, go there and see, I have several pots. I put my beauty in those pots. So she went to the first pot. The guy went to the first pot and he was excited to see what his beauty is all about. So very beautiful pot, and the very beauty is in there. When he opened it, he got this very sweet, obnoxious smell of the stool that she had in that pot, and it was so gross that he almost fainted. And then she said, okay, then go to the second pot. I have some more of my beauty in there. And that one was all urine, and it smelled so bad and was pretty gross. Then she said, go to the third pot. And that one had all her vomit, which was she was throwing up. And then like that, so all these gross stuff in the body she took out. So what she did for the past 7 days, she was taking heavy laxatives, and that take out all these substance from her bodies. And when you took all of that out, then the body looks very ugly now. So then she said, this is the beauty that what you're attracted to, so go and enjoy it, it's there, you know. So anyway, at that point, then he was willing to listen to instructions. So the point is that when you extract everything from material life and you look at the essence of it, you really want to run away. It's so gross that you're not attracted to it. When it's kind of combined in these different forms, then it looks very attractive. So an intelligent person would analyze and sift it out, separate it, and see what the essence is. So similarly, with that being said, we have a gross understanding of what not to look for. So this is wanting to be eliminated, the looking towards material life for who Krishna is and what the essence of life is. So here, coming to this purport, is talking about how to recognize Krishna as the essence of all Vedic knowledge. So how to analyze, he's talking about analyzing, and then you're looking at the vast Vedic literatures, which is enough to confuse all of us. And sometimes we question that why Krishna gives so many Vedic literatures. Even Vyasadeva, who wrote the Vedic scriptures as an incarnation of the Lord, he was dissatisfied and he wrote all the Puranas and so forth. And when his Guru Maharaj approached him, Narad Muni, he said, because you have failed to describe the glories of the Lord, then that's why you're not satisfied after explaining and expounding on so much. So that's when he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of the Lord's pastimes, and that's when he got satisfaction. So anyway, basically this, it's explaining that how to look at all these different aspects. That some there in Vedic culture, there's so many different scriptures, there's so many Quran, there's so many categories. So for one reason why that's there is because Krishna does not interfere with our independence. I know this was a topic in the past of some kind of a controversy, that the living entities are independent, and thus Krishna gives all these facilities. If not, if he had taken all of that away and said, hey, the only scripture there would be Bhagavatam and Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then we wouldn't be independent, because we have no choice. This is what you have to, this is what it is. There's no choice. Just like sometimes when I come home from work, you know, there's no choice of whatever prasadam I want. You know, whatever she prepared, that's it. You know, that's it. You know, there's no choice. That's it. Okay? So anyway, but if Krishna did that, then we wouldn't be independent anymore. We would be narrowed by, you know, by whatever is demanded of us. You know, we're forced to do such. But no, Krishna gives everything so that every desire we have, it's there to be fulfilled. Every opportunity we want, he's not interfering. On the flip side, he's showing us through all these different scriptures that where to turn, how to eliminate, how to move ahead, first of all, from the gross material concept, get into spiritual life, get into ritualistic activities, get into sacrifices, increase our karma, advance in spiritual life. So this verse here in purport is very similar to one verse of Bhagavad Gita. Anyone knows what that is, what I'm talking about? Yes, Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Can you put it up, please? Okay, so we'll just go to the English. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. And here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Lord is situated as Paramatma in everyone's heart, and it is from him that all activities are initiated. The living entity forgets everything of his past life, but he has to act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is witness to all his work. Therefore, he begins his work according to his past deeds. Required knowledge is supplied to him, and remembrance is given to him, and he forgets also about his past life. Thus, the Lord is not only all-pervading, he is also localized in every individual heart. He awards the different fruitive results. He is worshipable not only as the impersonal Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the localized Paramatma, but as a form of the incarnation of the Vedas as well. The Vedas give the right direction to people so that they can properly mold their lives and come back to Godhead, back to home. The Vedas offer knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Krishna, in his incarnation as Vyasadeva, is the compiler of Vedanta Sutra. The commentation of the Vedanta Sutra by Vyasadeva in Srimad Bhagavatam gives the real understanding of Vedanta Sutra. The Supreme Lord is so full that for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, he is the supplier and digester of foodstuffs, the witness of his activity, and the giver of knowledge in the form of Vedas. And as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita, he is worshipable by the conditioned soul. Thus, God is all good. God is all merciful. Can you read the Sanskrit? Mine is distorted, I can see. Anyway. The living entity forgets as soon as he quits his present body, but he begins his work again, initiated by the Supreme Lord. Although he forgets, the Lord gives him the intelligence to renew his work where he ended his last life. So not only does the living entity enjoy or suffer in this world, according to the Vedas, according to the dictations from the Supreme Lord, situated locally in the heart, but he receives the opportunity to understand the Vedas from him. If one is serious about understanding the Vedic knowledge, then Krishna gives the required intelligence. Why does he present the Vedic knowledge for understanding? Because a living entity individually needs to understand Krishna. Vedic literature confirms this. In all Vedic literature, beginning from the four Vedas, Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads and Puranas, the glories of the Supreme Lord are celebrated. By performance of Vedic rituals, discussion of the Vedic philosophy and worship of the Lord in devotion service, he is attained. Therefore, the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. The Vedas give us direction by which to understand Krishna and the process of realizing him. The ultimate goal is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedanta Sutra 114 confirms this in the following words. One can attain perfection in three stages. By understanding Vedic literature, one can understand his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing the different processes, one can approach him, and at the end, one can attain the supreme goal, who is no other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the purpose of the Vedas, the understanding of the Vedas, and the goal of the Vedas are clearly defined. So, basically, what we're talking about here is these three aspects of Sambandha Gyan, Abhideha Gyan, and Prayojana. So, Sambandha Gyan is the first part here of understanding understanding the Vedic literatures and understand the relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, Abhideha Gyan is the process of one going through this process of the Vedic literature so we can approach the Lord. And then Prayojana is attaining the goal of attaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is basically what is explained here. And we also have another explanation. I'm not sure if you can find that. This is going to be in the database, section 31, under surrender unto me. That's pretty much, if you click on that, surrender unto me, should come up there. This is a commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that explains the same verse. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further explains Krishna's thoughts. Just as the fire of digestion is within the stomach, I am situated in the hearts of all moving and non-moving beings as the principle of intelligence. Indeed, from me, the intelligence principle, comes knowledge, remembrance of things once experienced, forgetfulness and perception born from contact of the senses with their objects. Having God described how he helps living entities in a bound condition, he next states, in the world's beginning, by all the Vedas, how he helps them attain liberation. Thus Krishna serves each living entity from within his heart by activating remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. If one were to remember each occurrence, especially the miseries experienced through his unlimited births, he would be unable to function. So, actually, my kids are watching one comedy, and in one episode, the main character, the star, he had an ability to remember everything in the past and to understand what everyone is thinking about him. And it was his worst nightmare of so much, because everything just keeps recurring in him. He remembering all his past, all his miseries, and he couldn't function. So for us, sometimes we argue, well, if we pastor, and especially when we are preaching, sometimes we do Sankirtan, we reach with others, and we tell them, well, you know, there are many lives that we pass through. And I said, well, why can't we remember? So when we explained that the Lord did this on, you know, for a purpose, they said they can't understand that if they can't remember their past life, then it probably didn't exist. And why think about that? Why think about worshiping God now? Why not try to enjoy? Because we're not going to remember anyway. But Krishna has a higher intelligence to, you know, for higher purpose, for our benefits. I remember once there was a farmer in Guyana. So one day he was sitting under his palm tree relaxing, and he was starting to analyze what's going on around him. So he said, you know, God is not very intelligent. He said, look at this big, huge palm tree. It has just these tiny fruits on it, tiny, tiny palms on it. And this poor little skinny pumpkin vine running around with these big, huge pumpkins. That God can't be intelligent. You know why? This little thing, he put such a big, big product on this big, huge tree, just these tiny little palms. At the same time he was thinking like that, some wind blew and one of the little palms fell on his head. And he said, you know what? God is very intelligent. If that was a pumpkin, I would have been dead by now. So sometimes we have to have like a wake-up call to understand what Krishna is putting in our way. What is it that he wants us to achieve? You know, so if we simply accept, surrender, follow him in the footsteps, then a lot can be achieved. So anyway, the second part is Srila Prabhupada's purport, which we basically read in the previous verse then from Bhagavad Gita by Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, basically this is the purpose, this is the process that Krishna is giving us. For one, he make it in a total independent way, just like showed Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was instructing Arjuna. And towards the end he said, now you can take it or you can leave it. And he gives so many instructions, you know, man mana bhava man bhakto man jajiman namaskuru. He said, just engage your mind in thinking of me. If you were not independent, Krishna would force you that, okay, you have to think of him, no other choice. But he gives all these varieties, and then he said, the best way to use your independence, the best way to use your intelligence, the best thing to do is man mana bhava man bhakto. Engage your mind in thinking of me. And towards the end of Bhagavad Gita 1866, he said the same thing, sarva dhamma parichajama mekam sharanam vraja. Aham tam sarva papibhyo moksha yishyami masachaha. That now, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I will take away all of your sinful reactions, do not fear. And he gives that confidence. So, throughout the Vedic literatures, there are so many different rituals, there are so many sacrifices explained, there are so many categories of knowledge. And then he's saying, well, okay, this is punto final, this is the conclusion, this is the final thing. Now give that up and surrender unto me. So he allows us to gradually go through everything, because some of us, you know, are conditioned like that we want to understand these different processes. So, but Krishna systematically presented the Vedic scriptures, and we can systematically learn it if we follow a systematic process. And the process he gives, which he very vividly described in Bhagavad Gita, especially in chapter 4, 434, Tadvini Pani Katena Pari Pashnina Sivaya Upadeksyanti Te Gyanam Gyani Nastata Darshan. Just learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, for he has seen the truth. He can impart this knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So this is our process of to understand all these Vedic scriptures is basically to follow, following of authority, taking association of devotees, which is the essence. For us it may sound easy, or for us it may sound, well, why are we thinking like this? We have all these vast literatures, who knows, there is something else stated there. I think some time ago, well, lately, I think Shishi Prabhu in one of his classes, they're talking about some different sampradayas, they hold on to, or their main book is something other than Srimad Bhagavatam. But they have some different conclusion. But for us, this is our conclusion. This is how we know Krishna. Vedaicha Sarvam Aham Eva Veja. How do we know him? By following this process. And because some people, due to our karma and conditioning, we might have to go through different processes before we can come to the conclusion that this is what we have to do. So for that reason, Krishna gave all of that. Also, just like you have teachers in the school, your teachers here, you know that when you're bringing up the children, you just can't give them exactly what you want to give them right away. You have to come in different stages. 1 + 1 = 2, then 2 + 2 = 4, and you know, go down like that. And sometimes too, you show them the negative path. Well, this negative path, this is not going to get you anywhere. I remember some years ago, I was going to reach a client. They want the GPS, to my knowledge, didn't come out as yet. So I called this lady to get directions. So she said, you're going to come down this main road and this New Delhi road. You come down, then you'll see a caution light. And then if you turn right, you're going to go down this dirt road that splits in three parts. Now when you go to these, any one of them, you're going to reach dead ends. So then I said, well, where do you live? She said, well, from the main road, if you turn right onto what I just told you, that's the wrong way. So then she started telling me, turn to the left and give me directions. So I was thinking, why not she give me all of that elaborate directions to go the wrong way first? So in her mind, she's thinking, let me tell you, you know, give you the flip side and then I give you the correct side. So sometimes it helps in our understanding too. So sometimes like that, we may take all these different angles and take all these different cultures and sacrifices just so that it enhances our understanding in a gradual way. But as Tamaharprabhu was saying yesterday in his class, that Srila Prabhupada gave us this very fortunate chance to disregard the steps, just take the elevator that immediately rises us to this platform, or the opportunity. So this is what, in essence, these verses are talking about. So the different, these three categories of Sambandhagan, Abhidehagan, and Prayojana. Sambandha to understand, Prayojana to go through all these different processes, and Abhideha going through all the different processes, and Prayojana to achieve the goal. So I thought to summarize this. Well, some years ago, I think in the last class we talked about it, I made a little composition and I didn't really pay attention to it, but looking at this verse, there is, it gives us a way, at least for me, to let me know how easy our process of coming to this prayojana is, of coming, you know, this conclusion. So, it's a little composition, I don't know the thing, but you know, you can at least hear the words. So, in summary, I have this little. Have you ever wondered what life is all about? You can run this world and never figure it out. You don't have to cross the ocean. No, no, no. By chanting Hare Krishna, you can figure it out. Have you ever seen such a beautiful life? By chanting Hare Krishna, you can make it sublime. For you have
The word is to lean and you have. The word is to serve, you have. Faith is to worship, you have. Temple room to clean, you have. Some books to read, now you have. Prayer shadow to take. This is what life is meant for. So, I thought I just, in essence, that is what Krishna consciousness is all about.
In the essence of serving devotees, associating, serving the deities, taking prasadam, study our literatures, and we can get to that very, very sublime platform. So, anyway, it's late. I want to stop there. If anyone has any questions or comments or additions, Pundarik Prabhu.
There's very much stress about sacrifice.
Yeah.
And we've also talked about it. I think it's also nice to recall that the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, really just really the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, because in chapter 2, Krishna basically describes the nature of a living entity being like this body. And in chapter 3, he gets into sacrifice. That's the main subject matter of chapter 3. Beginning around verse 7 or 8, where he says that work performed as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed, otherwise work dies within to this material world. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by the sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things. So even though the Bhagavad Gita is singled out as being different from other Vedas in the purport, actually even Krishna mentions this, the importance of sacrifice. And it says, Prabhupada in his purport, that the Lord's purpose in descending is to teach human beings the process of sacrifice. And then in the 10th chapter, he says, Jagratam Japa Yogyasmi. Of all sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names. So he points that out as the supreme of all these different sacrifices. So the question is, in the beginning of your class, you mentioned that there was a controversy about something, independence of the world. I'm not sure what it was. What is that?
There was something about some are saying that the living entities are not independent, because we are forced that we have to depend on the Lord, so therefore we can't be independent. And then, that was kind of a misunderstanding. Is that we are independent, but the best way to use our independence is to be dependent on the Lord. So there's like a difference there. And anywhere in the Vedic scriptures, it talks about the living entities being independent. We are independent living entities. But how to best use our independence is independence on the Lord. So there's like a narrow line there, but a very important one. But I want to address what you're describing in Bhagavad Gita from the very beginning. Yes, sacrifices are there. So because we have different categories of living entities and from different backgrounds, to bring them up to the highest platform, some may need to go through all these processes. That's what Krishna is describing here to Uddhava, all these different processes. But Uddhava is already a pure devotee. So in the Bhagavad Gita, all these processes are there from the beginning, sacrifices, this, that, next, on all these different yoga karma, yoga jnana, yoga astanga yoga, and all the different systems, all the different dharmas. There are about 10 or 12 different dharmas mentioned throughout. And then, towards the end, Krishna says, now, give up all of that and surrender unto me. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna was giving different views, different angles, explaining different processes, different sacrifices. But in the 18th chapter, he gave his conclusion. This is my final instruction. So, which one do we want to take? And so we have to understand like the mood of what, what Krishna is presenting, that we have different people, they may not be able to come to this point of surrender. I know, like, I have some relatives who was practicing Krishna consciousness when we became devotees, and they're favorable, but to come to this level of, give up all the other rituals and give up the different things, it's like very difficult for them. So that's one of the purpose of the Vedas, that all these different things are there because they are people, who would not be able to follow, would not be able to come to this point of total surrender. I'm not saying I am, but this process of Krishna consciousness is one of total surrender. And I'm fortunate enough to have the stamina to at least be here. Yep, so.
Yeah, actually, in the book Civilization and Transcendence, by Srila Prabhupada, it's a conversation we had with devotees based on some questions from India, Bhavan, or something like that. Mm-hmm. One devotee asked about sacrifice. Srila Prabhupada said, "What does sacrifice mean?" And devotees, "What does sacrifice mean?" And devotees suggested an answer. And Srila Prabhupada says that sacrifice actually means surrendering to Krishna. So, yeah, of course, we have the nine processes to get there. Someone knows what we like to do. And that independence was minute dependence. I always talk about minute independence.
Yeah.
That we need to have.
Yes, so that's pretty much that's what sacrifice is. Sacrifice basically is, for us, that's what austerity means. I remember I had, in the early days, I had a godbrother, he passed away now. He was very, very austere for like 30 years. He only lived on milk and fruit. And he would get up like 1 o'clock in the morning. And where the temple was, you remember him, Yogendra? Where the temple was, it was all like swamp land and thick pile of like mud and dirt. So when you're walking, you're burying like knee high into the mud. And he would be circumambulating the temple. And not to speak of mosquitoes, I don't know how come that, maybe because he got stuck in the mud because he was so skinny, because there's so many mosquitoes that can literally pick you up and fly you away. And they have these big bugs, what do you call them? Cockle? Bugs? Some beetles. My first service, when I first joined the temple, the first day I visited the temple, my first service, the temple was like maybe this size. The temple was this size. And my very first service, the first day that I came to a temple in Krishna consciousness, was every hour we have, one of those 5 gallon buckets that you have in the kitchen, those 5 gallon bucket, is to sweep that temple room, and I'll get one bucket full of those beetles every hour. That was my first service. And this devotee would walk around, and not only that, in the morning, he'd walk around with his beard coppers. Because then, the women in the temple, they weren't awake as yet. And he walked around with his beard coping with all these mosquitoes and all these beetles and in this thick level of mud burying and walking around and doing his japa. And for him, like, okay, if I make this sacrifice, then I'll achieve Krishna. So then, after some years, he got a little, frustrated. His anger wasn't really, subsiding too much. So he asked Achyut Maharaj. He said, "Maharaj, for 30 years I've been keeping Ekadasi and following all these austerities, and I still can't give up, my anger, and I'm still so..." He talked about his qualities. So then Achyut Maharaj told him, he said, "You can be 85 years old, but if you don't chant sincerely and perform the austerities that is necessary to follow your guru's instructions, then all these different things would not really soften your heart too much. It can actually make you harder." I think when this other one devotee was talking about this last week or 2 weeks ago in class. So these things are there, that it can even make your heart harder, even with like these sacrifices, if they're not directed properly. For us, sacrifice means, what does it take to follow the instructions of our authorities? What does it take to follow the instructions of the spiritual master? Yes, so Mother Sukada.
Sometimes it's hard to understand why things are happening. It's like I guess that it's going to offer me an opportunity to perform a sacrifice, to surrender, and to try to keep everything on the offerings set up down at the temple. So the time for the wedding is going to be able to serve each other.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, increase that as a time to increase. Actually, for the past few days, as I'm moving around, I see people lining up, trying to get gas, trying to get everything else. And in my conversations, whoever I had connections with, there was one common conclusion of all of them. And that conclusion is, we'll try our best, but we have to surrender whatever God wants. And so thinking, you know, maybe Hurricane is doing good. You know, it's like giving people a conclusion, surrender unto the Lord. What else can we do? You know, we can try our best to take the necessary cautions, but at the end of the day, we have to surrender. You know, so we can take anything else. So one last question from the Prabhu. Or comment.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah.
When you were describing the devotee that you just described,
yeah,
if I had been observing him, I would have thought that this devotee is off track. Doing all these things is not the process that Srila Prabhupada taught us to do. Rather, the teaching that Srila Prabhupada gave and the teaching of Lord Chaitanya gave is that we must engage in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. We don't understand Radha and Krishna without participating in Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, chanting and dancing publicly, or people who are here at the temple, guests for them. To do all these things, it reminds me of a devotee in Mayapur in 1976. Srila Prabhupada was going to come there, but before he did, a few months before, there was this devotee, and he decided to perform his stories by going out to the banana orchard and living, you know, under a banana tree and subject to all the elements, like you saw. So when Srila Prabhupada came there, and he was, well, actually, I should tell you that during this, it was well known that devotee, at night, he would sneak in to the pujari room or whatever, I don't know, it was prasad in the boat that he was standing, but he would like consume large quantities. Anyway, when Prabhupada arrived and was taking his tour, he walked there and he said, what is this? And Advaita's explained, Japataka Maharaj explained to him what his devotee is doing. Prabhupada said, just see, he has become a monkey.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's okay for Srila Prabhupada to say so, but for me and you, I'm not sure. You know, it's like to say something, one, you know, you have to have like the qualification. So it's nice to take that example. Well, okay, don't do like that. But, you know, we have to be careful in our own lives to how we see other devotees. Sometimes we may see devotees do something and may it looks a little off track or whatever, but we don't know the inside, the heart of, you know, those personalities. So there's that other, I mean, maybe I'm not sure if it's the same story, but with one, this devotee came from Africa, I think, and he was performing all his austerities and they told Srila Prabhupada. But then Srila Prabhupada, you know, was just, he didn't answer, he was cautious about it, acknowledge what they said. And then they said, they told Srila Prabhupada, well, now he wants to live up in a tree and just do 130 or something wrongs a day. And Srila Prabhupada said, from the time you said you want essential gratification, all nonsense. Somebody trying to chant 132 wrongs a day, for me and you, we can say it's nonsense, you know, but from Srila Prabhupada, from the point of Acharya, for the his position of disciplining his disciples, then yes, he can say that. You know, so I'm just trying to point out, you know, the different angles, you know, from of what we can, you know, what authority we can have. So it's nice to see those examples. It is also good to take the necessary caution that we don't go down that route, and that in itself becomes an austerity. That how do we not look at that and think negative, or how we not look at that and don't do something better? You know, so that's another austerity we have. So does that? I mean, I'm just trying to look at the other side. You know. Okay, one last. It's getting late now. 5 minutes after nine. Yeah. Yeah, okay, one last.
The one who said it, he's become monkey.
Yeah.
But because I was there, I was right there in the banana orchard, and you've also been, we learn from Srila Prabhupada the proper standards. So even though we're not personally anywhere near like Srila Prabhupada, we can see how he judged things.
Mm-hmm.
And also from Shastra, we can understand how those are judged. And we know that the process is Harinam Sankirtan. I'm the worst in it, but I'm going to start doing it. And that's the process. Taking this holy man, following Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party, and taking it to the people of the world, not even only chanting japa like Haridas Thakur in a secluded place. I'm not saying Haridas Thakur, I'm not a chari, but we can't do just japa.
Yeah,
it's not just movement.
Yeah, because, and that's our austerity, how to follow this instruction. Like, they were announcing, let's go out and Harinam or do Kirtan here. That's an austerity for us to come to do Kirtan. Might sound simple, but, you know. And so that's what our sacrifice is, how to follow. You know, that's our basic sacrifice. So, anyway, I would like to stop here. Thank you all very much for staying so late. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.